Think you'll be back tonight? If nothing goes wrong and the shuttle's not too crowded, I just have to flush the toilets and be on my way. But there'll be plenty of people with even less to do, lined up at the airlock. She flipped open her calendar. You have rehearsal till... Won't be past 10. I think everybody's got to work tomorrow. Don't wait up. She touched my shoulder and stood. Or do, and we can have the duck together. Midnight quack. Idiot. She kissed my forehead and left. I watched the welding for a little while and then wandered back home, tuned the guitar down 2 whole tones, and tried a couple of passages of tonight's Monk composition that way, tighter, no open chords. But it didn't give me what I wanted, so I tuned it back up. What I wanted for the Monk was the 1930 Gibson F-hole I'd had to leave back on Earth. But you start thinking that way, and you might never stop wanting. Restless, I went down to the kitchen early and put the duck pieces with some orange slices into the small oven to roast slowly. Sandra was there, and we had a cup of tea, talking about her main job, which was liaison and observer for an Earthside sociology project that pretended it wasn't waiting for us to do something catastrophic. Zack came down at 17:30, and we started. He did the salad while Sandra and I tended to the main course. The camera showed 22 customers when we turned on the frying pans, onions, potatoes, garlic, and wait. It was simpler than a restaurant on Earth. Everybody got the same dish, and they brought their own wine or fuel or poured water or tea or coffee from the common table. There's nothing especially complicated about a Spanish tortilla. Basically, just a firm omelet made with potatoes, but doing any dish 60 times is a logistic challenge. We could make 16 servings at once in the 4 frying pans. I stacked the first batch on a big platter and kept them warm in the large oven, starting the second batch while Zack served salad. It timed out pretty well. We had 30 people in the 1800 seating, and the rest at 1900. Meanwhile, the duck smelled marvelous. I just drained the fat off, saving it for the French chef, and for the last few minutes took off the orange slices, brushed it with honey, and let it brown under high heat. Saved enough for 2 small sandwiches and served the rest to Zack and Sandra, who were ecstatic. There was no shortage of variety in our diets, thanks to the protein sequencer, but an actual new kind of food was almost unheard of. I'd talked to Maxine Chu, the French chef, and she was enthusiastic about doing duck now that she didn't actually have to slaughter one. She would do confit de canard one day and a cassoulet the next. I put our duck in the cooler at home, collected guitar and music, and got to the practice room while the others were still tuning up. It was a pretty good session, but I was just as glad I didn't have any big parts. Mostly following charts for rhythm, trading off a simple, fast melody with the oboe and a Fulford matrix. We ran through everything on next week's play sheet at least once, and I was happy to quit a little before 2300. I opened the door to soft music and a porn playing on the wall, Kate sitting in a lotus on the couch, nude. "Duck," she said. "Or what?" It was what first. And duck later. 12. Questions. A black couch in a beige room, 2 little cameras and 1 big one. A big floating screen showed the activity inside and outside ours while they maneuvered into the welding phase. Tomorrow, Mentos, then Sanitas, and us on Monday. I had a feeling of foreboding. Unjustified. When the interviewer came in, I left a cup of cold coffee by the couch and sat with him in front of the big camera. The studio was tuned to look like a picnic table in the woods, New England, fall foliage. It was funny to look into the monitor and see that, seated on a hard metal chair with my bare elbows on a cold metal table. "I guess we have to start with a couple of obvious questions," the interviewer said. It was Sky Golding, a sociologist I'd known since Earth. He was a stocky, white, intense man with his head shaved. First, have you found anything specific that implicates the time machine and the death? Well, we're not ready to say it was just a coincidence that Alex died in the machine. One of the small cameras slid closer, as if curious. It does put stresses on the body and mind that don't occur in nature, but the basic mechanisms haven't changed in over a century, and the time machine is historically one of the safest ways possible to waste your time. Safer than bicycling, safer than walking. But people did die in the machine before the war. Well, of course, you spend 20 hours a week doing anything, and your chance of dying during that 20 hours is, what, 1 in 8.4? That doesn't make it intrinsically dangerous. I don't want to play devil's advocate here. Anybody who wants to put off using the time machine until we can say for sure that it's safe, I'd call that sensible. I'd recommend it. Yet you're not in favor of closing it down. No. Well, yes and no. It's closed now for a couple of days. We're in the process of modifying the machine so that it will look for vital signs changing in such a way that might precede a stroke or heart attack and immediately end the session. Alex probably had a blood pressure spike before her stroke. If we had pulled her out then, who knows? Sanitas is supplying a round-the-clock medic for the time machine just in case. We've suspended operations until the system's in place and tested. But you used the machine yourself without the fail-safes and medic in place. Day before yesterday and will again tomorrow. I suppose it's a matter of faith or statistics. I've probably used the machine 2,000 times. Hasn't killed me yet. The other thing is Alex's age. Of course. She was one of the originals, and an old one. Older than my mother. But about a third of us aboard are originals, and as you know, we're all getting complete physical checkups. So far, nothing odd. Maybe Earth will have some insight? We should know something in about 10 days. They've been sent all the autopsy data and the records of two of us who were observers during the session. You met with the TMs from Earth. Telepresence modules. Did they offer any insight? Not really. They don't have anything unique. We have all the relevant data here. The next time they're upgraded, Earth still won't know about Alex. The week after that, it might be interesting. Or not. He smiled. You don't like them. What's to like or not like about a data package? I don't think it's especially efficient to give them dramatic personalities. Yeah, I don't like them either. So, when will the time machine be open again? Well, at bottom, it's a rights issue. Pursuit of happiness. We'd rather nobody use the machine until we have an opinion from Earth. And we told that to everybody with appointments. Some are willing to take the risk rather than lose their place in line. A lot of people want to talk to me or another virtuality expert before they confirm or cancel. Sounds like an organizational headache. In spades, they used to say. Card suits, not shovels. Our schedule's locked a year in advance. We do have the fifth space, the extra space in the machine, and normally we could shuffle people into that and take up the slack. But the staff needs that space to monitor what's going on, now more than ever. He nodded. And the timing is lousy with spin-down coming up. Well, we're all coping with that. It's been on our calendars since Earth. Thank you, Jacob. He looked into a camera. Anyone who wants to talk about the time machine situation is welcome to click in tonight at 2100 when Jacob and an assistant and the TMs from Earth will be here. Signing off for now. He smiled at the camera until the red light went off and then got up and sank back into the couch. You're not telling everything. Everything factual, I said, and that was the truth. You have misgivings about letting people back into the machine. Yeah, on two levels. The official one, waiting for Earth, and then something I can't articulate. Something creepy. Is that a technical term in virtuality engineering? Creepy as opposed to what? As I say, if there was a word for it, I'd use it. A tech came in to roll the big camera away, and I continued after she left. Bruce Carroll feels it, too. He and I have been each other's templates forever. He's also a V.E. Do you know about the smell thing? The New York City background smell? He shook his head. I don't follow time machine stuff very closely. Well, we haven't said much about it. We interview clients after they've been there to New York, and would just as soon they not know beforehand exactly what we're looking for. I explained the situation to him briefly, the missing olfactory substrate. Sounds like a wiring thing, he said. I don't know much about how the machine works, but there has to be a bunch of background data somewhere that's not getting transferred to the client. I wish it were that simple. It's not really a data transfer, not in the sense of moving information from one place to another. The machine induces a subjective state into the client's mind and body. It's more feedback than transfer, though. The machine takes a kind of baseline of what you see and hear, feel and smell when you start out there in the dark, when you first slide into the machine almost unconscious. It's different for everybody. And then it modifies the baseline sensorium, slowly at first, and then faster as the template illusion accretes. Once the client's actually aware of the template, the machine's querying the brain 1,000 times a second and modifying sense impressions so fast that it seems like a continuum.
But to the machine, it's not a continuum, Sky said.
Not at all. A constant round of measurement, evaluation, and feedback. But that's like saying a computer just adds ones and zeros. True, but too reductive to be really useful. The actual process is so complex and volatile that we can't describe or really understand the totality of it.
Kind of sloppy for engineering.
It is, I agreed. It's more like a life science. You can describe every molecule of the physics and chemistry of a cell, and in theory, detail how you sort and connect 1 billion cells so that they can walk and talk together, but you won't have described life.
So maybe you should be talking to biologists rather than engineers.
Kate tapped on the open door and walked in. That was all right, she said. Buy you a drink? She'd just picked up our weekly ration of wine and fuel.
Nothing for me, thanks, Sky said, and pointed at a cooler. Ice if you want it.
You can owe me one, I said. Drinking protocols are complex in our rationed world. Well, okay. Being on camera makes me thirsty. Kate assembled ice in 3 glasses and poured drinks.
You're with Jacob on this business? Sky asked.
She shook her head. It's the closest we've come to having an actual argument. Kate, the thing should be shut down.
It is shut down.
Only for a few days. End of side 3. To continue, turn the cassette over.